Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. If you guys are just joining us, this is a fantastic show today. I'm learning so much from Doc Bill, and Doc Bill's with me all the time. But this is fascinating to hear the story of the purple ribbon sugar cane that he and his partner of Georgia Coastal Gourmet Farms, Jerome Dixon, they're talking about the purple ribbon sugar cane, which they partner with Clemson University to bring this heritage historic crop back, not only to Sapelo, but also to Townsend, where their farm is located. So I want to jump in because on the last segment, we wrapped up with you all talking about this whole process, because I was actually out at the sugarcane fields. And I mean, there were rows and rows and rows and rows of sugarcane. And now I look over and I see a bottle of purple ribbon sugarcane syrup sitting here on the table. So what was that whole process like, going from the field to the bottle?
Well, one of the things we had to do was a very tough decision, is you want to keep expanding your crop, harvesting it, replanting it to increase your acreage. But at some point, when you get near 4 years, you have to take a fair amount of that crop and make it into product so you can see what you have. Otherwise, this whole 4 years and continuing to do it is worthless. But it's going to set you back a bit, because instead of increasing the acreage, you've got to use them to make syrup. And so we did that, and we made the syrup from the process, and it was more than our imaginations. It was just a great, great product. But prior to that, Jerome will talk about the process of, once you have the cane grown and it's ready to harvest and has what you think the desired sweetness, what do you do at that point to get ready to take it to the miller to make syrup out of it?
So, Jerome, what was that process?
That process was, you had to get the cane script. And when I say script, you got to get all of the dead fart off it and just leave the top of the cane standing. So the cane needs to be really, really clean before it's actually cut down. So my guys, we came with some scrippers, and they got these modernized scrippers that you can just go down the cane rows, and each cane, you got to scrip every leaf off of it.
Wow.
And after you scrip, yes, it's very, you know, it's a challenge. But we got it done. We got it all scripted. The cane was pretty and clean. Then after that, we cut the top off. Once you cut the top off it, about 8 to 10 feet tall, then you lay your cane down inside the rows. You cut the bottom off. After you lay it down, we met with Mr. Mickey Morris, and he gave us some suggestion on how to actually get the cane from out of the field to Odom, Georgia, because we wanted to actually put it into the hands of a guy that can actually handle that amount of cane and give us the product in which we have now. And he's been doing that syrup business for many, many, many years. He gave us some pointers, gave us some racks to actually put the cane itself in, the raw material. So we had to get all the cane gathered up out of the field, then put them in racks. Once we got them in racks, these maybe 4-foot by 4-foot tall racks, they had all the cane be put into the racks, and then it's wrapped with this Bisqueen plastic all the way around to keep any of the canes from sliding out. After we go through that process, then you have to load it onto trailers. And then we shipped it up to Odom, Georgia to go through the process.
Now, I want to back up just a little bit here back to the field, because I want to make sure that everyone really kind of understands that whole process of getting all of the leaves and getting all of that off to clean the sugar cane. Because if you have not been to a sugar cane field, which this was my first time going to one, a full-grown one, that is, I mean, there are a lot of leaves. That is what sugarcane is. It has lots and lots of leaves on it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how much time?
We spent four to five, almost a week out there in that field.
Just
scraping the leaves. That's not cutting the top or cutting the cane down to the ground. That's just scraping the fodder off. And it has to be scraped down. There's no way you can process the cane with all of those dead leaves and stuff on it. So it's something that has to be done.
Now, and how many acres did you guys have with this one?
It was just right. It's right at an acre. It's right at an acre. It's a slow process. It's not like we can go and buy cane and just replant it every year. Like Dr. Bill said, you know, we have to make the decision on how much of it we're going to replant in order to increase our yield. So, you know, we're right at an acre now, and then next year we should be able to increase that yield as well because we added 15 more additional rows.
Okay,
now, all of them have to be done by hand.
Wow, that's just amazing. I think people just buy the syrup on the counters when they're at the grocery store, and they don't think about this whole process. So now you have it off the fields, you have it in the trailers, and you're headed over to Odom, Georgia. So what is that process? You and Doc Bill share that with us.
Mr. Morrison is a master syrup maker. Here in Georgia, we have a guy named Mr. Olin Hughes up, and he makes syrup, but he makes syrup with sorghum. They're both cane crops. The only difference is sorghum is more temperate, and you can start sorghum each year by growing seed. Cane is different. You can't start cane by seed. You got to start cane by laying in the ground stalks of cane that you've harvested the following year, and then the cane that grows back that once you've cut. And the thing about both of these processings is you want to process them in a system in which it's boiled in a vat, and then the water content is decreased by boiling, and then the sugar starts to thicken. If it's not thickened enough and has too much water in it, and you bottle it, it will go mold in the bottle. The mold will grow,
right,
and it'll get ruined. At the same time, if it's too thick and you get all too much of the water out of it, it will crystallize and start to form sugar, and you don't have your nice smooth product. So a master syrup maker, they've been doing this for years. They can look at it, tell by the smell, the touch, and they can take it to exactly what they want to. And then they have a facility that can do that, producing a beautiful, pristine product. And that's why we wanted to use him, because we had a award-winning cane, and we wanted to have award-winning syrup.
Mm. And you also received some type of recognition for this cane as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
This is one of Georgia's crops, which is known as a heritage crop, and purple ribbon sugar cane is one of them. And it's one of the first ones that got the label. So there's an organization called the Ark of the Taste, which is out of Europe through Italy, and they look at all around the world endangered crops and crops that have great flavor and taste, and they give their designation. But this purple ribbon sugar cane syrup was the first product in the United States to actually bear the Ark of the Taste. If you Google Ark of the Taste, you'll see a video when you hear the history of what this organization does. So we have the first product in the United States, not just in Georgia, but in the United States, that bears the logo, the Ark of the Taste. And they were very excited because we have the history of this product, its historical significance, and then we have the actual product itself in a bottle.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, again, this show is moving along too fast because there's so much information that I'd love to get from both of you all. But we have to stop and take another break. But when we come back, I want to hear what happens next, because now it's in the bottle. And I know that people have been waiting and waiting for this product, because there's been a lot of discussion and a lot of talk about it as you guys were growing it. And now it's in the bottle. And I want to hear all about where you're going next with it. So, Doc Bill, when we come back, I know that you've worked with a couple of chefs, and Chef Linton Hopkins, I know you work with him very closely with the Sapelo Island Geechee Red Peas. You and Jerome grew peas on your farm, and Chef Hopkins was really happy to take those off of your hand and serve those to his clients coming into the restaurant. But I want to hear, because I know he was very excited about the purple ribbon sugar cane, so definitely want to hear about Chef Linton Hopkins and the chef over at Husk. So when we come back, guys, we'll hear all about where they are taking this sugarcane syrup now, so that you guys can go have a great meal and have some of this sugarcane syrup. So when we come back, we'll hear all about that here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, today's show is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Beach Vacations, where you can go have a great vacation. You can check out the sugarcane field there. You can also meet some of the great people that live there on the island, that their ancestors also grew this sugarcane and processed it right there on Sapelo Island. To find out more, check out SapeloIslandBeachVacations.com if you want to go to Sapelo and stay at the Sapelo Island Birdhouses. But if you want to see more, hear more about this wonderful purple ribbon sugarcane, check out GeorgiaCoastalGourmetFarms.com. Back in a moment here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends.
Summertime, and we'll sing again. We go driving, or maybe we'll settle down. If she's rich, if she's nice, bring your friends, and we'll all go into town.